Does your company have a good wellness program? See how it stacks up against the healthiest employers of Indiana and across the country. Visit us online at healthiestemployers.com to join the community and start your application today.
17 miles of city streets were paved in coordination with the city engineer's office. The Building Commission issued 976 construction permits. The Metropolitan Planning Organization secured $14.6 million in federal funding for transportation projects.
Evansville Mayor Lloyd Winicky adding it all up. 2020 was a big year for Evansville and Southwest Indiana. He's taken an unconventional path to City Hall, starting the first leg of his professional career in a television newsroom.
You're watching ABC 25, where news comes first.
Lloyd did a 360 after 17 years in the fast lane of TV news. He took a less hectic job in banking. As a young boy, he really didn't want to get into journalism or banking or politics. Lloyd wanted a shot at playing second base for the St. Louis Cardinals, and maybe the chance to crank one out of the park, like St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer Ozzie Smith, with his shot heard around the world.
Smith corks one in the right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 and a home run by the Wizard.
Lloyd Winicky on his dreams of playing professional baseball, his time in local news, the switch to banking, and his journey to lead Indiana's third largest city where there is a lot going on. He's my guest this week on the Business and Beyond podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. I'm Gary Dick. Lloyd Winicky is serving as the 34th mayor of Evansville. He knows the place very well. He was born and raised there, graduated from Central High School and the University of Evansville with a degree in communications. That degree has served Lloyd Winicky very well. He spent the first leg of his professional career, nearly two decades, in local TV news with stops in Indianapolis, Louisville, and just across the Ohio River from Evansville in Henderson, Kentucky, where he served as news director for WEHT. He made a big move from there, going to work for Fifth Third Bank in Vandenberg County, where he spent 13 years before the political bug bit him. He ran for and was elected mayor of Evansville in 2011 and now is serving his third term. And I'm very pleased to welcome to this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast, Evansville Mayor Lloyd Winicky. Lloyd, how are you?
I'm great, Gary. How are you today?
You know, I'm good. Most people listening would not know this, but our relationship goes back a long time. Back to TV news. You were a producer for a time at Channel 6, WRTV here in Indianapolis. That seems like eons ago.
Well, it was in the 1900s, Gary.
That's a very good point.
It was eons ago.
Yeah, and you have certainly come a long way since that time. I mentioned your path into banking. You know, I think it's a natural for people in television to, you know, they want to exit the business, they go into a corporate type of job. That would seem, you know, fairly normal when you talk about the move to Fifth Third. But politics, how did that, have you always really had a thing for politics?
I have actually. It goes back to my high school days when I was a in high school back in the day. I don't know what it is today, but you had to take government as a senior in high school. And I took government, and a guy by the name of David Kaler was my government teacher. And Mr. Kaler, still call him Mr. Kaler to this day, even though he's not been with us for a number of years, but he sat on the Evansville City Council. He ran for Congress in a primary in May of 1978 and lost. But a bunch of us in government class really liked Mr. Kaler. He was arguably one of the most popular teachers in school, very affable. And I kind of got the bug. We went door to door for him. And even though he lost, he was such a gentleman. And I really sort of learned a lot about how to carry yourself as a public servant. And that's where I kind of got the bug. And even though I was in television news for so long, I couldn't participate. My wife ran as for county commissioner in Vandenberg County and served one term. And that was difficult. I couldn't really be involved in those campaigns because I was in the media, but I always liked it. And then in 2000, when Russ Lloyd Jr. was elected mayor of Evansville, I worked on his campaign as a volunteer. He at that time sat on the Vandenberg County Council, and I was elected in a caucus to fill his unexpired term. And then I went on to serve on the county council, the county commissioner, and then ran for mayor. So always liked politics.
Yeah. Well, and you and your wife, Carol McClintock, are the quintessential political couple, no doubt about it, political family. People in Southwest Indiana would know that. But your wife, Carol, been very active in politics as well.
She has. She worked on Steve Carter's statewide campaign, both of his campaigns. We helped him in his unsuccessful bid for a third term. We're dear friends, personal friends with Lieutenant Governor Crouch. So we've certainly been supportive of her efforts through the years. So we think we have a lot of political friends around the state, and we cherish those relationships.
Lloyd, you mentioned before becoming mayor, you're now in your third term. Your county council, county commissioner. I think you served as president of the commissioners. And here's a little fun fact that you've got to be proud of. You have never lost an election.
Yeah, I have. I kind of cringe when people remind me of that because I think it's probably, the political akin to reminding a pitcher that he's got a no-hitter going into eighth or ninth inning. So, I'm proud of that. I really think it speaks to our collaborative style of leadership. And when I ran for mayor in 2011, I really talked about collaborative leadership, and people asked me to describe it. And I said, well, it's hard to describe because you have to kind of know me and know my personality to know how I'm wired, but we really convene a lot of people and we really try to build people up. And I think that's helped build our city up. And I think it's helped build up our region.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, too. And correct me if I'm wrong. I think when I was doing a little research, it indicated you are only the third Republican mayor in Evansville since the 50s. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And right now, there have only been two mayors that, assuming I complete my third term and knocking on wood that I do, only two other mayors have served that long. Frank McDonald Sr., who served three terms. And Frank McDonald II, who was elected to three, but also is the longest serving, having filled the unexpired term of Mike Vandeveer back in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I know, Lloyd, having covered business news and obviously continue to do so around the state, you have shepherded a number of really large, important, I would say transformational projects for Evansville. A lot going on in the city, especially as you look downtown, that is changing so much. The Ford Center, Convention Center Hotel, residential development, and the Medical Research Center, the Stone Family Center for Health Sciences, which was talked about for a long time, that came to fruition. How important is that Stone Family Center for Health Sciences, and how important is it that it was built downtown? Because I know there were some sites out in suburbia, if you will, that were strongly considered too.
Yeah, I would say we really spent a lot of political capital to get it landed downtown. The University of Southern Indiana wanted the expansion on their campus, and USI housed it for decades. Warrick County wanted it. There were private developers on the east side of Evansville that wanted it, but downtown really won the day. If you look back and just asking about bricks and mortar projects that I think I'm most proud of, that's probably it, because it is really truly building a new pipeline of healthcare professionals. And our region and our city is no different than other parts of the state in that we have a growing shortage of healthcare professionals. So the fact that you have a state-of-the-art facility in downtown, we have new residency programs now with Deaconess in Evansville, Ascension St. Vincent Evansville, Memorial Hospital in Jasper, Good Samaritan Hospital in Vincennes. We know that doctors, when they do their training, 7 in 10 stay in the areas where they do their training. So the more doctors we can train here and not only educationally, but with a residency, the more likely they are to stay here. That builds Evansville and all of Southwest Indiana as a healthcare hub. That's really, really vital. And we're already talking about how that can be expanded. Dr. Steve Becker has a vision for that campus that is phenomenal. And I just met with him last week. Hopefully in the weeks to come, he'll have some big news that he can share about long-term vision for that. But I would say that's probably the single most important bricks and mortar project that we've championed.
Why was it so important in your view to put that downtown and to expend that political capital? Because not everyone agreed with it, but to build that health center in the heart of downtown Evansville.
Well, our thought was this: one, the University of Southern Indiana is a gorgeous campus, 1,400 acres. They will always have academic programs that can grow on that campus. Warrick County is a great location. In fact, we're partners with economic development projects with Warrick County. We talk back and forth a lot, so it's friendly competition. The East Side development location, it's going to develop more likely in retail space, but finding good sort of economic good projects for downtowns that can withstand economic downturns is difficult. But so that we really thought landing the medical school along with a component of the IU School of Dentistry right in the heart really would be a catalyst for downtown. And just before COVID hit, I think we were up to 62 new businesses that had opened on Main Street or in close proximity to the Stone Family Center. So it proved that our thinking was right. And I know we're in a COVID surge again, but nonetheless, we're still progressing with other downtown development ideas that could be equally transformational.
And one of those is the city's tallest building. In fact, I think it's the tallest building for many miles, hundreds of miles around, 5th and Main, iconic building. That's going to come down, right, to make way for new development.
It is. We're really excited about this. So this sits at 5th and Main. It is the old, if you're familiar with Evansville, it's the old National Bank headquarters building, 18 stories tall. It's the tallest building in 130 miles of Evansville. It's been vacant for a good while. I'm working with the Domo Group out of Fort Wayne and Carmel to develop that block. So it's an entire city block. That building is vacant. The city acquired what's known locally as the Sycamore Building, which sits on the same block. That's a six-story building. So the six-story Sycamore Building will be demolished. The 18-story tower will be imploded. And we hope to announce the implosion date very, very soon. But I would say it's very likely that the implosion date will occur this fall. It'll take about 3 months for the block to be cleared from the demolition and implosion. And at that point, we'll start construction on a really dynamic new development. In place of the 18-story building will be a really beautiful six-story building, and a four-story building will replace the Sycamore Building. And a really breathtaking park is on the drawing boards for the rest of that block. So we think in 18 to 24 months, what that block looks like today is nowhere what it will look like. Those two new buildings will house workforce housing, will have retail, restaurants, and some office space. So we're really, really excited. And of course, I'm a downtown resident. Carol and I live on Main Street, literally in the next block. So we're very eager to hear how the implosion process works.
Yeah, right.
But we're confident in it.
I was going to mention that you do live downtown. Probably was not a viable option maybe a decade or more ago to live in downtown Evansville, but now people are actually doing that.
Yeah, and actually, I walked to work today. I had a 7:30 meeting in the building called Innovation Point, which houses all of our economic development offices. That went to a little after 9, and I just put my backpack on and walked the four blocks, and I do that a fair amount, and it's extraordinarily convenient. We have hundreds of residents who live downtown that rely on the Ford Center for entertainment, whether it's hockey, basketball, or concerts, the Victory Theater for the Philharmonic. We have, again, a lot of restaurants and fun bars. So downtown's it's not my grandfather's downtown.
Hey, I want to ask you too, before we hit a quick break, the state announced, it's been a few weeks ago now, but big infrastructure projects, nearly $500 million from the state to do a number of projects in southern Indiana, southwest, also southeast Indiana. But one of those projects is includes the construction of the approach to the I-69 Ohio River crossing near Evansville there. How big a deal is that? How big a deal is are those planned infrastructure improvements?
It is ginormous for our city and for our region. Deputy Mayor Steve Schaefer and I had dinner with the governor in May, and the governor was outlining what he had hoped to announce in June down here. And he kind of tipped his hand as to what he was trying to get accomplished, and he got it all accomplished. So this is the interchange that, as you said, that will lead to the Ohio River crossing. And the commitment is for that to start in 2024, which is about 3 years ahead of schedule. But this is really critical to completing I-69. We all think about I-69 basically between here and Indianapolis and then on to Fort Wayne, but it really extends south across the Ohio River. Our labor shed, our commerce area of commerce really extends into western Kentucky. So this is huge for our region. And it'll, you talk about big impact, especially for including industrial, big business here, trying to transport raw materials or finished products from point A to point B. That Ohio River crossing is really dynamic. And I suspect that planning for the Ohio River crossing that will be a foundation for components of our Ready grant application.
Very good. Yep. Hey, Lloyd, each week on the podcast, we do what we call a two-minute drill where we ask you a few quick questions, get your quick responses too. Are you up for the challenge?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Favorite sport?
Favorite team sport is baseball.
And I know your favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals. You and I are have a common bond there. I don't want to tick off all my Cub friends with that. But you're a St. Louis Cardinal fan. Always have been, right?
Through and through. On my wall, I have I've thrown out the first pitch in Busch Stadium twice, and I have a picture of it. And it's one of my favorite sort of fun parts of the job.
Well, very good. Okay, favorite way. Do you have a favorite way to relax?
Play golf.
Okay. What's your favorite snack?
Popcorn.
A favorite station on satellite radio?
Broadway.
Okay. Do you have a favorite musical artist?
Oh, this would show my age. Like Frank Sinatra.
Okay. I'm with you on that. That's a good one. Oceans or mountains?
Mountains.
Okay. Class or single class basketball?
Class.
And a final one. I'm sure you've had a number of mentors over the years, but is there one, maybe two mentors that have been really important to you?
Golly, a lot. Probably the first person that comes to mind, two people come to mind right away. John Daniel, who is a retired Fifth Third Bank president locally, just super smart. And when I worked for him, I really learned management in a new, really constructive way, but really smart guy. And then Bob Jones, ironically retired CEO and president of Old National Bank. He was one of those many people when I took office that said, hey, if there's ever anything I can do for you, call me. And you go, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're in this job like 2 days and you think, all those people who are telling me that, I need to reach out to.
Right.
And so Bob has been there. And I mean, every time I call, I joke that I probably text him as much as or more than I text my wife in any given week.
That's good. And Bob obviously left a big imprint on Evansville and really the state of Indiana as well. Okay, Lloyd, we're about halfway home with this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast. When we return, we'll talk about Lloyd Winicky, the early days growing up in Evansville, and also maybe get in a little bit to what might be next. That's when the Business and Beyond podcast returns.
The Healthiest Employers Award program is now open to companies of all sizes in the state of Indiana. We have created a community of wellness leaders from across the country dedicated to cultivating a more proactive approach to employee health and well-being. To nominate your organization, visit us online at healthiestemployers.com. Healthiest Employers, the nation's leading corporate well-being award.
Welcome back to the Business and Beyond podcast, presented by PNC. My guest this week is Evansville Mayor Lloyd Winicky, the city's 34th mayor, now in his third term. And Lloyd, you are Evansville through and through. You were born in Evansville. Your parents, lab technicians at Mead Johnson, an iconic company there, went to high school there, Central High School, University of Evansville. What was growing up like for you in Evansville?
Oh my gosh, we had a great childhood. We lived out on the north side of town, probably 10 or 12 minutes from my office right now. Lived on a dead-end street with nine houses. We played kickball. We had crab apple fights in the backyard. We rode our bicycles everywhere. We were three blocks from a little shopping center and, you know, probably three blocks from the high school, from Central High School, where I ended up going to high school. So, you know, it was just, I had a paper route. And,
yeah.
It was fun. We had a lot of kids in our neighborhood.
Yeah, quintessential small. Now, I don't consider Evansville a small town. My town, Clinton, Indiana, population about 7,000 or 8,000. So Evansville, obviously much bigger. Yet it sounds like you really had that small town feel.
Oh, I did. I mean, we just lived in a great neighborhood. And I mean, we, you know, the families did things together. The kids, you know, we knew, everyone knew everyone else's business. And it was a great childhood.
Yeah. Did the fact that you grew up there, how much did that weigh into your decision to, because you were in politics at the county level, did being a native and maybe, you know, that community pride kind of thing, did that influence your decision to say, yeah, I do want to run for mayor?
Yeah, I think it did. Growing up, I mean, I didn't really, as I said earlier, I didn't really get an interest in politics until I was in high school. So I never grew up thinking, hey, boy, I want to be the mayor of Evansville. I mean, that was never on my radar. And candidly, when I got on the county council, the county commission, it wasn't on my radar. But I think the fact that I grew up here really made my decision probably easier. And I understood so much of the history of the city and so much of what I thought the city needed and how I thought I could pull people together in a new way. Yeah, I think that certainly played a role.
Yeah. How would you describe, as you look at Evansville today, as you look out of your office there in downtown Evansville, look at a very different skyline, a very different landscape than existed when you were growing up. Can you quantify how Evansville has changed? I mean, physical changes, obviously, but how has Evansville changed in your view over the last number of decades?
I think in a couple of ways. One, yes, there are, you know, new buildings and new facilities. Mayor Weinzapfel constructed the Ford Center, which really I thought was an important first step to start a new resurgence, if you will, of downtown. I think the biggest way Evansville is different today than it was maybe 10, 20, 30 years ago is I think we have a better mentality about what to expect. I think we have maybe a community inferiority complex, like, you know, we don't really need to do this. You know, what we have is good enough. I think we've evolved in our thinking and okay, we're the third largest city. We need to start walking and talking like the third largest city. And as we get state policymakers in here, some who are visiting for the first time or many, maybe they haven't been here in many years, they're really pleasantly surprised at how we have developed and grown. And so I think we've got a swagger now that maybe we didn't have 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Does that mentality of good enough is, you know, just good enough is good enough? Because I contend that's been one of Indiana's challenges as a state, is that kind of thinking. Do you think it's kind of going away now? Do you think in Evansville and looking at projects that maybe you wouldn't have thought about a number of years ago?
Yeah, I think it has. I think the issue has become, or I think what's helped is people understand that growth in a community is not all about government writing checks to get stuff done. Government can be a convener, and maybe government has some financial skin in the game, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe government's role at the local level is just to help a developer through the maze of permits and processes and opening doors in Indianapolis or in Washington. But I think people finally understand just because the mayor doesn't have to have all the good ideas, whether you're in Evansville, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, South Bend, wherever. But I think an effective mayor is someone who recognizes good ideas that are brought to them from throughout the community, and then helping to marshal the right resources together to see those projects through. And I think that's what's happening here. And candidly, I think it's starting to happen, or I shouldn't say starting to, it's happening elsewhere in the state too.
Yeah, which is much needed. And so much of the change too, and the projects that you look at and think about are quality of life, quality of place projects. I know you and I were talking before the podcast, you're going to get a new penguin exhibit at the zoo there. And, you know, people say, okay, that's great, but is it really important? And I think you can definitely make the argument that it's very important, because without that quality of place, quality of life, things to do, people aren't necessarily going to want to live there.
Yeah, no, you talk to a lot of business leaders, and as do I. And, you know, while incentives for relocation or expansion are certainly important, almost always the number one issue someone asks about is a quality of life issue. And so if the pandemic obviously affected attendance at our zoo, but in a typical year, our zoo attracts about 190,000 people a year. I suspect that with the penguin exhibit, that we'll probably jump up to 220 or 30,000 a year pretty easily. And we have a great story about that. This is about a $7.2 million project, and it's truly a public-private partnership. The Zoological Society has gone out and raised $3.6 million. So we have very generous philanthropists, Wayne and Beth Kenny. A family wrote the big check for the naming rights. So it's the Wayne and Beth Kenny Penguins of Patagonia exhibit. And we have other corporate and foundational supporters as well. So quality of life and quality of place is just, it's a big catalyst for almost everything a community can do.
Yeah. We talked about earlier, you wanted to be a professional baseball player as you were growing up. But as you were growing up too, you developed a real love for the arts, for music, theater, and I didn't know this about you, Lloyd. You're actually, you sang?
Yeah.
Now, are you a shower and car singer, or will you get in front of people and sing?
So with enough practice, I'll get in front of people and sing. At Mass on Sundays, people will say, oh, you need to be in the choir. So I sing well enough generally not to embarrass myself. I sing really well in the car. I conduct in the car as well, just as sort of a stress reliever.
That is something I did not know. Where'd that come from? Where did that?
I got a theater bug when I was a kid. And so mom and dad got my sisters and me and some church play. I couldn't even tell you what it is off the top of my head. And then in grade school, I had some really super, super teachers, and they started a theater company. And I played Linus in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown in the eighth grade. And then in high school, I was Eddie in The Courtship of Eddie's Father. And then I was in South Pacific. And, it's been a while since I thought about all that. But I just got a real bug for it. And so that's why when I get in the car and I can just, like, unplug, I'd like to just plug a Broadway song. And in fact, I heard a Broadway song a couple years ago, and it stuck with me. It's called Be the Hero of Your Story. And it's from a musical called The Big Fish. So I thought that I've got to use that. So when we were doing our State of the City speech last year, I remembered that. And so we worked with the Evansville-Vandenberg School Corporation, and we got five high school choirs together. And they each record. We did a four-camera recording session. We recorded each separately because I really be the hero of your. It's really, the title says it all. We can all be the hero of our own stories, And in this case, I was trying to inspire the city and encourage more young people to participate. So I heard that on the Broadway network, and that became the closing of our State of the City speech this last year.
Oh, neat story. What, and not to dwell on this, but again, arts and culture is so much a part of that quality of place, quality of life. And when you're looking to keep companies there, but also attract new companies in, that can be a selling point.
It is. We have a really dynamic Philharmonic Orchestra. A lot of orchestras over the years have not done well financially and have faded. In fact, ours is really flourished. They've made a lot of changes that have really benefited the orchestra from an organizational standpoint. But our Philharmonic is a big, big attraction. We have a great network of museums that are really largely supported. The Evansville Museum of Arts and Science, the Children's Museum of Evansville, and the Evansville African American Museum, the Wright's Home Museum. So just a really great, diverse museum network. But all that is really helpful. And not just in terms of attracting and retaining, but it keeps people and those employees of those employers involved in our community by sitting on boards, being volunteers, writing checks. It's the circle of life, if you will, of a community that is so really vital.
Yeah, a lot going on, as we've talked about, in downtown Evansville and more broadly in Southwest Indiana. Toyota's massive expansion up in Princeton, which is not far away. Berry Global continues to grow as a big global company, employing lots of folks. Is this, in your view, because as I look around the state, I look at a place like Fort Wayne, where they have a lot of development, and I consider this kind of a turning point in history for Fort Wayne. To me, I look at Evansville in much that same way, with the projects you have built, the things that have happened, but the things that are on the drawing board. In your view, I guess two-part question, is this a turning point, do you think, a pivotal point in the city's history? And what is that next big thing for Evansville?
Well, I hope that people will look back at this chapter in Evansville's history in 20 years, 30 years, whatever, and say, wow, that the community of that time and the collective leadership really help shepherd a lot of great progress. I think we'll be looked upon favorably. I think it's critical because I think we've really, as I mentioned earlier, we start to have this evolution of what we can expect and what we can do. And I think we're at the point now where we know we can have and want practically anything. We are restricted by our population. We're not gonna have an NFL team here or a Major League Baseball team here. But we can have a minor league hockey team. We can have a minor league baseball. We can attract NCAA events, Division I, Division II, and Division III events here. We can have a lot here that I think our community just maybe didn't have the vision or the drive for decades ago. So I think, yes, it's critical. And I really am hopeful that people will look back and look upon us favorably. I think the next big thing will probably be continued development of the downtown, because we are a regional city and it is the core of the region. So I think you'll see other large projects. I mean, I know of projects that we're trying to, that are in the really early stages, we'd like to get off the drawing board. So if one of those comes to fruition, it will change downtown. But probably the single most important thing, next big thing, will be the Ohio River crossing. And what that does to connect our region south and north. And I think you'll see over the next decades, after that bridge is complete, or maybe simultaneous to its construction, will be new development along the interstate that will really benefit us.
Yeah. You mentioned regionalism and working together as a region. It seems to me, you know, Indiana in many places has been so slow and reluctant to do that thing. I think Evansville, it seems to me anyway, that there's a growing realization that you've got to work together as a region. You know, people like Greg Woffen there in Southwest Indiana is a real leader in that area. Others are as well. Do you sense that those barriers coming down and regionalism becoming more of a thing?
Absolutely. I can say with a straight face, we've probably been working cooperatively on a regional level in economic development for more than a decade. But at the beginning of this year, we merged the Growth Alliance for Greater Evansville, which is our city county economic development organization. We merged the Economic Development Coalition of Southwest Indiana, which was our four county regional development arm, and the Chamber of Commerce. We merged all those into one organization called the Evansville Regional Economic Partnership, or EREP. And I think that really speaks to the leaders in this community's commitment to regional cooperation and regional growth. What's helpful for Warrick County is helpful to Vandenberg County. Mayor Greg Wright's Toyota YMCA project in Princeton will benefit Evansville and Vandenberg County, and vice versa. So I do believe people are really, really supportive of regional growth and regional partnerships. I know it's important to the governor and to the IEDC. And I like where we are as a city and as a region about our commitment to regional cooperation.
Big things ahead for Evansville. How about Lloyd Winicky? What's next for Lloyd Winicky? Is it another term? Is it a fourth term in the mayor's office? And I have to ask you, because, you know, you hear names circulated about, you know, people say, hey, maybe Lloyd Winicky could be a good governor one of these days. What's next?
Well, it's flattering when people say that, but I have zero interest in running for anything other than mayor of Evansville. I have a lot of good friends who are very qualified to run for governor, and we're going to support our dearest friend who's doing that. You know, it's not quite time to say we're going to run for fourth term or we're not, but we'll probably make the decision next June-ish would be my guess. That would give me enough time to gear up the campaign machine, or give me time to find a new career and let others who think they want to succeed me get their machines up and running. But suffice it to say, we haven't made a decision, but the door is certainly still open to a fourth term or for a fourth run.
And will part of that decision maybe be, hey, there are these projects that are out there I would love to see come to fruition and happen, some unfinished business?
That I think that's human nature. I couldn't say with a straight face that wouldn't. It would be tough to walk away and not run for a fourth term, knowing some big things we've started are not quite done. But that won't be the final determining factor. I mean, it's a family decision. And Carol has been enormously supportive of everything we've done in 10 plus years now. And, we'll see. We'll list all the pros and cons, and like we've always done, and figure it out. But it's certainly a job I still really, really enjoy. Some days are absolutely more difficult than others. But there are other days when you get to do things that are just so gratifying that it's even hard to describe.
Lloyd Winicky, the 34th mayor of the city of Evansville. Lloyd, it's been a real treat to catch up with you and have a conversation on the podcast. Congratulations on all of your successes. Have been watching and obviously reporting on developments there in Evansville from Indianapolis. And a lot has changed. A lot is changing, and I think in a positive way. So thanks again, and look forward to catching up in person hopefully soon.
Thanks. Nice talking to you. And we'll have you down for the implosion.
Okay, good. Hey, I'll see if I can make it. I love a good implosion. So we'll check that out. Appreciate it, Lloyd. And really thank all of you for listening to this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. It is a weekly conversation with achievers in business, sports, entertainment, and beyond. And you can listen to all of our episodes and get Indiana business news 24/7. All you have to do is go to insideindianabusiness.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Gary Dick. We'll see you next time.